Psalm 74. How many of you appreciate the freezing weather this morning? You woke up and said, praise the Lord. The preacher's kid. Yeah, there you go. That's what big brothers are for right there. No lying in church, little man. All right. Wow. That's for stealing his seat, okay? We're working on counseling. Psalm 74. If I can get to this, then we'll be good. All right, verse 17. The word of God says this. This contemplative song, this mashal, the idea of instructing in matters of righteousness, that's what these songs are for. It says in verse 17 of the Lord, thou hast set all the borders of the earth, thou hast made summer and winter. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your help now. Lord, we're just very thankful to have fellowship in church this day, good responses this morning, visitors out, and Lord, potential church members. Lord, I just thank you for how you've been working. We're blessed by you this day. And Lord, yet we ask your blessing again. And Father, because we need it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us with the topic at hand. Lord, to be a blessing, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What do you call that? Call it when you've got French fries. You got French fries, you got gravy, and you got cheese on top of that. What do you call that? If you know the name, just, no, not you. We're going to get to you in a minute. Poutine? Anybody else? How many of you would say that's the way you say that?
No.
Poutine. Okay. Wow, this is interesting. Here's the story here. Pete Lattiser is an interesting cat. You figured that out by now, okay? We've done stuff. He's like, preacher, you need to get out, you know, helping people in ministry. One time we went to Winkler and we said, we want to find the best burger in Winkler. So we traveled around testing that. And I said, you know, I'll take that and I'll order some fries. And Pete says, I'll have a poutine. And the young lady says, you mean a poutine? I said, exactly, a poutine. He says, no, it's poutine. And I'm thinking, I'm not eating metal, buddy. It's poutine. And he goes, no, I'm telling you, it's poutine. And this is how we do the French fries. And we have the cheese curds from Quebec. And I said, really? I said, Pierre Lattiser, do you want me to call you Pierre too? Or Peter, what? He goes, no, it's actually poutine. And he said it. Say it. Say it the way you say it. Poutine. Okay. Now, I set the stage for this because this is how you have to get this cat. In the spirit of that, I want to tell you this story, this wonderful poem. There was a small boy from Quebec who was buried in snow to his neck. When they said, are you frizz? He replied, yes, I is, but we don't call this cold in Quebec. So there you go, buddy. Okay? Cold is cold, or froid, whatever you want to call it, man. Winter is winter, okay? Snowmen and snow angels, frozen feet and frostbite, hot chocolate and wood stoves, cold wind and broken furnaces, skidooing and snow tubing. Carl, we got to try that, man, okay? Frozen water is my cup of tea, okay? Tongue stuck on frozen metal and 40 below. Been there. Hot stew and butter biscuits, cabin fever and loneliness, hot tubs and cheap airfares, all of these things remind us of winter. Now think about this today. I got to the church today and I thought, oh wow. I looked at the driveway there and I said, yeah, a bigger shovel would help. And so I decided just to do the smart pastoral thing. I just drove my vehicle around the parking lot. I didn't do 360 circles, tempting though. And Daniel says, we should really pack this down. I thought, yeah, welcome to winter. And then I thought about that, thought about this fact this week. Was this season designed for us to be miserable, to test our Canadian machismo guys, or are there some practical lessons we can learn from this time of year? You think about it, this is a really difficult time. It's the highest suicide rate this time of the year. People experience cabin fever. People start thinking about the vacations they can't afford, okay? There's a reason why if you come to my house, I've got a picture of a hut, a rowing boat, and a beach, okay? I like to have that in the wintertime. It's a reminder that the season is going to pass, but what are some practical life lessons we can learn from winter? We read from our text in Psalm 74 that the Lord has made summer and winter, but what for? To freeze? You know, what's the plan? For us to get stir crazy in our houses, snowed in, broken furnaces, for hot chocolate sales for consumers? You know, what's the deal? What's the reasons for winter? And I wanted to hit on this because I think it's a practical lesson for us. God's plan for winter. He made this season, and here's a couple of things that I want to bring to our attention. You know, we can look outside and we can think, man, it's dark. Man, it's cold. Man, I've been stuck in here for this long. I can't get out of here. How many more months do I have to look at this? You can drive by the lake and see snow and be like, wow, where's the water? But there's a reason for all of this, and what's the reason for it? And the first thing I thought of is this. When we think about wintertime, and what helps us deal with winter or kind of get through the winter season that God has created, we should reflect upon the promises of God. Now think about it for a second. My heart was immediately drawn to the fact of Noah and his sons on this ark and how God spared this family. God promised this man that after the flood, God promised that he would not curse the earth by flood again because of man's wickedness. Now the fact of the matter is this, is that he goes on to tell Noah in Genesis 9 verse 15, he says, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." When we think about winter, we need to think about the promises of God. Yes, it's cold. Yes, it gets windy. Yes, the power goes out. Yes, the wood supply can run out if it's cold enough. But when you think about it and you think about things we can learn from it, think about the fact that we have a God that keeps his promises, and it's a blessing. I love the scripture that says, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Do I always appreciate it? Oh, let me tell you something. Daniel was praying for snow. His mindset was, "Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow." Why? Because mountainous money rains down. I'm telling you, he does snow clearing. He's like, "Preacher, it's been a pretty quiet time for the snow." I'm telling you, if you would have saw his balaclava look that he sent me this morning, you would think he's going to go rob houses or he's out to make some money. It was early. Snow. Winter. It could be miserable. But you know what, folks? What a reminder that our God keeps his promises. And I'm so thankful that I can stand before you and say, my sin is as white as snow. And so is yours. Winter. That discouraging, dark, depressing season. It can get that way. And for many, it is that way. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. And you say, why is that? Because our faith is built upon the facts and not our feelings. And I don't say that to make fun of anybody. We all can get that this time of year. But what lessons that the Lord has for us, and he talks to us about winter. I was thinking about winter, and I was thinking about this thought here that because of winter, another lesson we need to remind ourselves of is this fact here that we are reminded of the power of God. Let's go over to the book of Job, Job 37. You think of this man's life and all that Job went through. I'm glad in a sense that he went through these things and we can learn from the lessons of Job without going through all the experiences of Job. What a blessed book, how this man learned patience. And how we should make this book a part of our regular reading because it would provide a tremendous encouragement about the faithfulness of God and how God will test his people, how he'll prove the enemy wrong. But the Bible says in Job 37 verse 5, "God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength." You know, you look at the world today and all they talk about, oh, Mother Nature is wreaking havoc. No, God my Father is wreaking havoc. Huge, huge difference. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. Our God is in control. The scripture tells us that very clearly. Verse 7, "He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places." Hibernation. Folks, look at. We can look at where we're at in our life. We can look at this province, and there's a great debate. Hey, are things going to recover economically again? Even if they don't, God remains faithful. Hey, we've had a great winter. I don't know about you. I've never experienced this nice of weather in Manitoba. I'll tell you what. I am excited about today. Today was a great day. Because where we come from, remember, I think it was last year, we had church closed for 3 weeks in a row. because we had people travel 40 kilometers to get to church, ice roads, misery, and just a tough time of the year. But the fact of the matter is, when we consider winter, when we consider all that we see outside, we're reminded of the power of God. Who decreed that? Whose purpose is for the snow? God. He arranged it. You think about how intelligent our God is. He planned for this. He planned for all of the seasons. And he included the tender watch care over all the animals, the bears going to hibernation, all of these things. Our God decreed this. Our God planned this. It says in verse 9 of Job 37, out of the south cometh the whirlwind and the cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given and the breadth of the waters is straightened. Go take a look at Cold Lake right now. It's looking pretty cold. How about that, right? God did that. Let me tell you something, dear saint of God. You want to get discouraged and wonder if God is working in Cold Lake or God is working in your life? Take a drive by that lake. That thing is huge, deep. I know I tried to jump in that with Carl and I was scared to drown every second of the way, even with a life jacket. Scared some pike's going to bite me, okay? That thing is straightened, solid, frozen. When we think about winter, we're reminded of the power of our God. Anybody been chased by a bear lately? No. Because God says it's time to go to bed, big boy. Think about that for a second. God's in control. Winter. Cold. Man, I've even seen the best of saints over the years come in and, oh, this blasted cold. It's almost like we're saved, but during the winter season, we allow each other to take that break. It's okay to be miserable for a couple of months because after all, it's winter. It's winter. Nothing's growing. The snow and the wind are circling around, blowing, and it's cold. But God made this season. God made this season. And for us, we're reminded of our God's power, and I'm thankful for that. God is all-powerful. We see another thought. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, going through the Word of God and looking at winter, learning from winter. You know, this is where Solomon was a wise man. He looked at the simple things of life. He looked at the ant. He looked at all kinds of things, and he gained practical wisdom from it. And for us, if we look at the Word of God, and we look at the fact that God made winter, he gave us this season. In Isaiah 55, we see another truth about winter that I think will help us, a life lesson to learn. If there's no winter, there's things that are missing. And it's powerful. Isaiah 55, verse 8, the Lord says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. You know, you want to give yourself a headache, try to figure out God. Like, honestly, I marvel at it. Like, you know, think about this. I'm blessed today because I've been thinking about the fact that I'm alive and I'm here. It'll keep you humble when you think about it. He doesn't need me. Yet in his plan, he determined that I would be here. You think about that for a second. Imagine not being here. You can't even imagine it. Imagine never living. Never having God use you the way he's used you all the days of your life. And I'm just learning to say, okay, God, you're God. You decreed winter. You know what you're doing. Would I pick a day like this cold? Oh, no. No, I had to get out and start the truck. And I thought, I'll just put my running shoes out, a little tired, got to the church early. And wet feet again. And snow. You know when you open up the door and all of a sudden the snow just kind of dumps on your head? The first thought that comes to your mind, praise the Lord. Where's Mr. H here? I'm happy too today. No, I wasn't thinking that. I'm like, that sucked. Okay? That sucked. Just like every other winter this happens. But he says that our ways are not his ways. Now verse 9 of Isaiah 55. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then he goes on to expound upon this a little bit here. He says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Think about this. God said to Job, he says, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Somebody calculated, and I forget the exact dollar amount per yard of snow, the minerals and everything contained in it. I think it was like $7.50. You know what snow is? It's the poor man's fertilizer. All the nutrients in that snow that covers the ground, saturates the ground, and gets the ground ready for growing things. Think about that every time you eat a loaf of bread. Who bakes their own bread? It's so good nowadays. It's cheap. You know, you just go there and buy that Wonder Bread and wonder what's in it. But then, you know, once you put jam on there, you're not wondering so much anymore. Me and Pete were talking about that. It's amazing, Brother Carl. You go and get a loaf of bread, it's like expires in 4 weeks. That's just totally healthy for you. But we don't think about that. Just jam and butter. I think I'll have another piece. Pete there, I think we'll have two more. Okay, no. But here's the deal. Where does that come from? It comes from the Lord. Think about that for a second. Man, do we need all this snow? Actually, yeah, we do. we actually do need the snow, and the farmers actually need this snow. And when you think about that snow, just say, hey, Lord, thank you for providing for me. I appreciate that. Oh, did I appreciate it the time that I went out with a man from our church named Rod Penner? Had some jogging pants on and a t-shirt. He had the same thing. Said, let's go renovate this old church. Man, it had this funky looking plywood that looked like somebody puked on it. Pour varnish on there. And I said, we're going to put some knockdown on there. Make a jazz up the old church. And we're doing that, and Amber called and she says, you know, it's supposed to be a bad storm. I said, it looks good in town. Rod, what do you think? Yeah, it looks good in town. Wives just kind of panic a little bit. Famous last word of fools, I'll tell you right now. So we decide to come home, and they're talking about the weather being bad, and it was good. I mean, driving from Carmen till we got to Jordan Corner, and that vortex hit, and it's like, whoa, what's going on here? And then suddenly you're like over the road, and Rod says, I know what I'll do, preacher. I'll just step on the gas more. Oh, yeah, good idea. Whoa. And you're stuck in the snow, oncoming traffic. And then he's like, oh, I said, you know what I need to do, man? We're stuck here. I said, let's open the door and go and get some help until the door rips off of its hinges. And then you get to shut this thing, and suddenly it's minus 40, feeling like minus 60. I said, Rod, no problem. We'll just keep the vehicle on. No, the heater died in the vehicle. And then to make matters even more of a blessing that you praise the Lord for after the fact, okay, not during the fact, of course, I said, it's okay. I got a cold weather pack in the back. And I go in the back there, and you know what I find, Brother Daniel? A red towel. So you know what I did? I put that on my head like a toque, okay? Jogging pants, shirt, red towel. And I called Amber and I said, hey, babe, how's it going? I said, you got any idea where the cold winter gear is? Oh, honey, the kids thought it'd be a blessing to clean the vehicle for you. Oh, it's a blessing, just not today. Yeah. So you know what we had to do in the winter? Man, the snow is piled up and we're half dying in my minivan. I won't tell you what make it is. In the minivan. Can hardly keep the door shut. How do you shut it? I grabbed the seat belt and cinched it in and tried to tighten it shut with the seat belt. Wind howling. We noticed this dually truck up ahead. We run out there and said, man, we need some help. We're going to freeze in here. He goes, my gas is almost done. Boys, I suggest we shovel. I'm talking snow up to here. How far do you shovel? 60 feet. Just so he can move his vehicle. A 10-minute drive took 2.5 hours to get to the yard of where my house was. And because of the winter, where the wind would direct, we'd always get those snowdrifts. It felt like Mount Everest. We're frozen. This guy's like, guys, this is as far as I could take you. We get out. I get out, and I said, Rod, I'm done. I said, honestly, I said, just jump over the hill if you can. Get to my wife. Tell her to put blankets in there. Give yourself an hour, and then come back and get me. And it took me 30 minutes just to get to the house. Winter. And I wasn't thinking like I'm thinking now, that, hey, God, you're providing for me. Thanks for taking care of the farmers in an extra special way. No. And oftentimes our perspective gets skewed because of the bitterness of winter. We don't always see the positive things of winter, but the Lord said, hey, I'm going to take care of things. I'm going to provide. God made the season for the reason. Either that, or we have to believe God's crazy and he wants us to suffer and he wants us to attack each other and he wants the church to get cabin fever and turn into Christian cannibals. I don't believe that, okay? I'll just take the Bible way and we'll just follow the Bible way. Life lessons from winter. What else do we learn about winter? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Did I ever think that I'd preach on winter ever in ministry? Never. Would never have crossed my mind to preach on winter. But you know what? We got to deal with it. We got to take the summer and we got to take the winter. I'd rather take this than fog 7 months out of the year, I'll tell you that much. And rain. I talked to Jesse Hollingsworth the other day and I said, how are you enjoying the season of rain in BC? And he says, it rains here all the time. I said, I know, I left there. I said, how are you enjoying the moss on the roof? They got those cedar shingles that are covered with green. There's moss. He goes, it rains all the time. I said, yeah. In the summer it rains. In the spring it rains. In the fall it rains. And in winter it rains. He's like, wow, I got island fever. I said, I'm going to be preaching on an island, what to do when stranded on an island. He goes, send me the message. All right. We got to learn to deal with the seasons. What do we do with winter? What do we learn from winter? And here's the truth from the Word of God that blessed me. We should foster relationships with the people of God. You know, where I pastored before, winter was the perfect time for building contacts. It was unbelievable. You'd run into people, and guess what they're doing in winter? Nothing. Okay. Hi, I'm lonely at home. What about you? Yeah, I'm lonely at home too. You want to talk? Sure, I'll put on some coffee. And you go and visit people, and it's great. You know what we want? What we're going to probably do is have some fellowship Sunday night. You know why? It can get to be lonely. Look at what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5, he says, now I will come unto you, he says to this church at Corinth. It's a scathing letter, and he's trying to transition to encourage them and help them. And I'm so glad for the grace of God. Listen, sometimes you can come to church, and it feels like you're doing everything right in your life. And then there's other times where it feels like you're crawling under the seat. Pete always says, preacher, if I don't feel guilty, you haven't done your job this morning. And I'm thinking, Pete, that's some pretty strong lattice or head to get through sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I don't say that to Pete, but you know, you think that as preachers, right? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. You hear winter in the Bible, and what winter is talking about in the Bible, especially because the Bible is really takes place in Palestine, that region. There's two types of winter. They've got the rainy season and the cold season. And so when you think about winterizing or wintering, the whole plan is to escape those types of weather patterns and weather systems that are predominant through different types of the year. And so Paul is saying, listen, the plan is to go and travel, but I would like to winter with you. What's he saying? I'd like to bunker down with you and use this opportunity to get close with you and spend this season with you. Let me tell you something. That was profitable. It would have been profitable for the church at Corinth. And I think sometimes for us, in a practical sense, it's just taking advantage of the seasons that God brings us. You know, it's not a sin to enjoy summer, but it took me a lot of years to figure that out. It's not a sin. Did the Lord make the seasons for us? Help me here. Of course he did. You know, one of the biggest blessings that I had, Brother Pat, I remember when your family and you said, preacher, I've got family in town, I'll probably spend time with them. And I thought, praise the Lord. We get that, right? You know, God made the family before he made the church. And I think if we would enjoy life a little bit more, and I'm not talking about being worldly, but I'm talking as a Christian, taking the time to enjoy what God made, we take life far too serious, far too often. We should enjoy it. We should enjoy it. And he said this. He says, I want to take the time and winter with you. He says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 21, he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greet thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Why did he tell him to come before winter? He wanted to have the sense of warmth of fellowship, to connect with somebody before he was holed up without any fellowship at all. Listen. You know what we got to do as a church family? If we see people struggling, visit them. Encourage them. Honestly, how many people here, winter's a tough thing. Let's be real here. It's a tough thing. You poor, weak people. Wish you were smiley like me in Hollingsworth all the time. You ever meet those people? They're just happy all the time. And you're like, what's wrong with you? Like, do you got something stuck in your teeth? You know? God makes us all different for a reason. You know, as a pastor, I appreciate the Stoics because there's times you get to be tough. But I thank God for the sensitive souls because we need that too. We need empathy for people. What do? We take time to fellowship with the people of God. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the church family going for hot chocolate at Tim Hortons. Can you imagine if we did that? There goes the preacher trying to advocate spending money. Think about this. Brother Pat, we go, we knock doors. Hi, we're from Lakeside. Pastor made us come here. Please take this track. I'm telling you right now. He's going to ask if I handed any out this week. I've been in churches like that. Who did 50 this week? I'm in a town of 3,000 people. All of us doing 50, we're going to freak the town out. But here's a news flash. All of us go to Tim Hortons, and we go there, and hey, where are you guys from? Oh, we're from the Lakeside Baptist Church, just enjoying some fellowship. Rather get out and enjoy Tim Hortons than go crazy at home. I'm sure there's enough crazy churches in town, right? Oh, yeah, for sure. We've been to a couple of those. Well, we're not that. Is that a bad thing? He said, but preacher, it would cost $3.50. People spend more money on blue and red pills than $3.50. Sometimes a coffee is a good thing. When Amber comes to me and says, I want to go with the girls to Starbucks, I said, keep it under $4, sweetheart. No. No, you know what I've learned? Happy wife, happy life. Okay? That's a good thing. That's a good saying. Really, truly. Get out in fellowship. Get out in fellowship. You say, I'm a miserable person. Then be miserable with another Christian. Okay? But I'm telling you, it helps. Would I ever thought this was winter? No. Because we all tend to hibernate by ourselves, and there's people we can fellowship with. Hey, what are you doing tonight? I don't know, got the fire on, eating some chili and kind of just cold. Can I enjoy some chili and be cold with you too? Absolutely. Anytime. Hey, listen, folks, we don't mind our house being Grand Central Station. 9 kids anyway. What's another army going to do? Plus, we're renting it off a mountain. If it gets trash, he gets in trouble. Whoo! No, I'm just joking. Just joking. Not at all. Okay? And lastly, just to kind of get to this here. Lessons in the Word of God. All kinds of things. Life lessons on winter. We should respond to practical guidelines. We find it scattered all through the Bible. You see that ships don't sail in the wintertime. You see that work is hindered in the wintertime. You see the need for preparation in the wintertime. So what are some practical guidelines from the Word of God that'll help us? I got to thinking about this beforehand. I told you the story of finding bubble wrap in that house. It was free. So I put it on the windows. And that does a pretty good job. But then you sit by your couch and you're like, man, I feel a cold draft. Oh, get those little plugs that go into the receptacle there. You know what we need to do is prepare our homes for it. I read Jeremiah and I laughed my head off here. Jeremiah 36, verse 22 speaks of one of Josiah's sons who's the king of God's people at this time. And it says this, now the king sat in the winter house in the 9th month and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. Ask you a question. Why was he able to burn wood in the wintertime? Because he prepared for it. And the fact of the matter is when you look at the Word of God, most of God's people had a winter house and a summer house, a regular living house, but most of them had a home that had a section blocked off for them that was called the winter house. You know what they did? They had wood heat in that home. And they prepared themselves for that season called winter. And the practical thing for us is this, is prepare our homes for it. I'm telling you, there's enough things we've got to deal with in the Christian life without those cold drafts. I can't tell you the time, and I'm going to be real, been at home and watching something with Amber, and I'm like, oh, man, I feel cold too. Yeah, I feel cold too. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you do something about it? Why do I always got to do something over something? Like, you want to prevent that? Guess what? You want to enjoy a nice day with your lady there? Take care of prepare the house for winter. The king's sitting in this house, wood there, nice and warm. You don't find him complaining. Practical truths for us. How about preparing our income in anticipation of it? Proverbs 20 verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of cold. Plowing time in Israel is November and December. The lazy guy doesn't do the work when it's an inconvenience. We've tried to set this up as a family for a long time. Listen, if you're able to grow a garden here, and I'm not sure how it is for growing gardens, but I'm telling you something, I love eating potatoes all year round. I love being able to pick some berries and have berries, and if I want a berry smoothie, I don't want to have to pay the prices that you're going to pay, so you can have it set up. We had a deal there that came at, what's that place there, Yellow Store? No Frills. So I said to Amber, I said, we're at the stage where kids can babysit kids. Whew, let's go shopping. That's a thrill. We haven't gotten over it. I don't plan on it either. Hi, Josiah, how you doing? Dad, you've been gone 4 hours. Oh, you noticed that, didn't you? Okay, just training you for marriage. Anyway, moving right along, right? You know, it's awesome. And hey, listen, I'm praying for you to get there soon. We had to do what we had to do. So me and Amber are no frills, and when I'm with Amber, I love to do annoying things to get her revved up because that's what guys do. And just joke up people and do all kinds of things. And in the process of annoying my wife, which husbands are born to do, I noticed this little corner here, beef roast. Regular, $6.99 a pound, $2.89 a pound. So Mountain, you know what I did? I loaded that stinking cart, baby. You know why? You know what my favorite meal is? Roast beef, mashed potatoes, green beans or asparagus, Yorkshire pudding, man, and you get that nice gravy over top of it. Now, I love to get it at is it Hamel's or Hamel's? And it's good, but you pay for that too, right? But if you're preparing for wintertime, you can stock up on those things. $8, $9, $10. And I don't feel guilty having people, what are we having? We're having roast beef, dignified preacher. Well taken care of by the church. Also planning for winter. You know why the thought process is for that? Remember the first time we moved to Manitoba? I was making $65,000 a year. And the only job I could find, $11 an hour. I remember when we used to make chicken cordon bleu. It was awesome. You know what we did that year? Hi, honey. This superstore, there's that yellow bag. I think they're chicken cordon bleu. They're only $10. Let's try it. You find yourself scrounging around. And I'm telling you, Christmas can be miserable enough without having to scrounge around. We prepare for it. Another thought is this, and we're almost done. Practical guidelines. Prepare your heart for it. When I speak about heart, I speak about the emotional nature and how God has made us. How many of us know winter's coming every year? And you know what happens? After it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. You know, after that stage, because it's kind of the tree and everyone's happy and thanks for the box of chocolates, Mr. H. Good call. Found some money on your windshield. 40 below. Snow. Grouchy people. You go shopping. And it's not, hey, thank you. Welcome to McDonald's. Thanks for ordering. It's like, can you please get out of here so I don't freeze my face off? It's 40 below. You ever experienced that? It's normal. Wouldn't you be that way? Hi. Frozen forever. Okay. But think about it for a second here. We prepare our heart for it. Song of Solomon, beautiful book. Beautiful book. Pictures God's relationship with his children. Consider this verse. And don't blush, young people. We're going to get to something decent, okay? My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. You know why that was said? They were separated by the weather. Young people just turning red, warming the building from their natural heat, their glowing smiles. Eh? Listen, they were separated by weather. It says, we're not separated anymore. We can meet and be close. Here's the thing about it for us here. We know how winter is, and we need to prepare our hearts for it. How do we do that? We get closer to the Lord. Listen, it's a struggle for people. And you know what? You can't fault people for that. That's how we're made. But the thought process is preparing our heart for it with joy, knowing we have a faithful God who watches over us, who provides for us, who's given us promises we can cling to, or we start to anticipate it with dread. And it leads to a culture of negativity and cynicism and depression and discouragement. And we got to try to avoid that at all costs. We have to try to avoid that at all costs. You know, we could talk about making proper travel arrangements, setting your vacations up because of it. There's scriptures that refer to that. But the fact of the matter is where is our heart in the matter? Having our heart set for these things. You know, it's wintertime. I love summer. I do. I'm looking forward to going, getting buried in the sand again. Until Buckle told me, says, you know how many birds do their thing on that beach? Wasn't thinking about that, Buckle. Always a positive one in the group. Do I want to go get buried in the snow? No, because I'm not nuts. I don't like being frozen. But you know, here's the thing for us. Who made the seasons? And he takes care of a lot of people by what he does with winter. He gives us an opportunity to connect with one another, to slow life down, build our roots, so to speak, invest in one another. And God provides that opportunity with a season called winter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Lord, a practical message for your people tonight. And Lord, I love you for it. Lord, I love the wisdom that is found in your simplicity. Lord, oftentimes the simple things are too complex for us. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Father, thank you for your people. Lord, I just pray that you would just help. Lord, I pray that you'd seal decisions. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No need for tonight, sister. I appreciate that, though. Just want to take a time and give us some time. And let me encourage you with this. Talk with God about winter. Listen, I want to encourage you with this thought. If it's discouraging for you, reach out to somebody. Reach out to somebody. We got to think of one another. You know, church family, let's think of older saints of God. It's tough to shovel driveways. Easy to get snowed in. There's a fear of falling. And we could be sensitive one to another and invest in one another and build up one another this time of year. Lessons we learn from winter. Just take a moment just to do some business with the Lord. Have that opportunity. Just allow the Lord to speak. Father, just thank you for this message from your word. And Lord, I just pray that you'd seal decisions that have been made. Thank you for your watch care over us this day, for bringing your people safely out. Lord, vehicles started today. Lord, we have a warm building. Lord, the folks that have had difficulties, Lord, you've given grace and help, and we appreciate that. And Lord, I just confess to you, there's a lot of times I've grumbled because of the cold, and forgive me for that. Thank you for making this season. And Lord, thank you for giving the understanding in this. We thank you for your blessings this day, dear Lord. We do pray for Jonathan as he's relocated to this area. Thank you for seeing Brother LePage and, Lord, just for what he's meant to this church and the fellowship and encouragement he felt in his heart this day because of seeing the saints here in Cold Lake. Lord, we also just want to pray for those that are out and about, Lord. We think of Brother Jeff, Lord, as he's got some training that he's taking care of. We thank you for Sister Humbiel and appreciate her faithfulness to you. And Lord, just we thank you for how you are working. Please continue to do so in our midst. And Lord, I pray that you give us safety as we travel back to our homes and gather for fellowship where we do. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're dismissed.